Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew and our relationship conversation. And we talked about signs he has strong feelings for you. Now, this was a bit of a challenge for the Due Time crew because they didn't believe a lot of the stuff, you know, that our little survey said. Well, they say, like, you know, he seems like he always has something that he wishes he could say that he didn't say. There you go. No, that was not a sign, really, according to the Due Time crew. He also talked about he seems like he's scared to tell you his true feelings. Nope, that wasn't true either. No, they didn't really believe that. You know, this is what a Due Time crew said here. Let's see. He makes it a point to be chivalrous. Not just chivalrous, but super chivalrous. They're like, where have you gotten these? Now, where did you get this list from? They didn't go for that one either. They didn't go for that one either. So, you know, it really wasn't a great list here. Because they did not believe it. They didn't even believe the fact that he distances himself from other girls in your presence, and that's a sign that he has strong feelings for you. Well, I have to agree with that one. They didn't agree. Because if you're in your right mind, you will keep your distance from other women while you're with her. So I don't know. But, hey, you know, what you going to say? What you going to do? You think all of this ain't going to be a secret, right? Right. Well, it wouldn't be a Monday morning if we did not have our switch tip with Shanti. Stop trying to speak their language. This one was a big tip for me all week as I, It just connected with every single conversation that we had. You know, it's something to be said for wanting to fit in. There's something to be said for just understanding when you're outside of your element. It's just something to be said, period, for just understanding when God is speaking to you and you no longer want to deal or you no longer find yourself out of place around the people or the person who you spent so much time around. Yeah, it's not going to always walk that way. And the amazing thing about this particular switch is there were just so many instances that made this switch tip actually perfect. Yeah, you could really fit this into so many different categories of your life, of someone else's life, of the word of God, even in the streets. You know, just don't try to speak their language. You know, just growing up, I just didn't gallop with the gang. You know, don't try to speak their language. Don't try to do everything everyone else, you know, they're doing. No, it's just some places you just ain't got no business in. Alrighty? Alright, so don't be out here trying to speak their language. And there could be anything, but definitely someone or a group of people who are not going the way of the Lord. Alright? Alright. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around. And we talked about ways Satan seeks to destroy you. Yes. And one of the things is, the first thing, you know, and this is the thing that he's been doing from the beginning of time with the first person and the second person of the world. You know, he plants doubts, you know, in your head. He always doesn't come out and just say, you know, that ain't it, because sometimes when people do that, you know, then automatically your guard goes up. You know, but if he can plant that seed and, you know, of doubt that says, did it really say, yeah, now you got an issue. Now you got something that, you know, you can walk with that you don't necessarily see, okay, as something wrong. And you're walking around now wondering if all the things that you've been told, you know, is true. Now, here's the thing. I've seen so many people walk away from church, from the Lord, from a person who, you know, has really been speaking into their life, all because they allowed the enemy. And that could be something on TV. That could be a person in their ear. It could be a family member. It could be someone that, you know, a co-worker. It could be anything and anybody who is savvy enough to come through and just start messing with you. Remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against powers and principalities. This is bigger than you. So while you're looking at so-and-so going, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, so-and-so would do that because so-and-so doesn't even realize that they're being manipulated. Yes. All right. Well, make sure you stay away, you know, from the things that the enemy uses to destroy you, such as separating you from your church and your church family. Yeah. That's what he said. He'll cause disunity among Christians. Yeah, well, you ain't necessarily got to cause, you know, this unity between you and the street people. Right? Right. Because that's what he wants you to bond with. Because that'll keep you all twisted and doing things that you ain't got no business doing. All right? All right. But that's how we spent our Tuesday. Well, while Wednesday rolls around, and we had a hilarious conversation about a woman born. Yes. And, you know, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, you know, when you're scorned? You have to really step out and be your own person and just not, you know, join the gang of women who just tell everything to everyone. Yeah, you don't want your stuff all over the place. However, you do need to find, you know, those couple of people that you can trust because you really do need to talk about this thing here. Yeah. Because the second point will happen, you'll let it fester. And that is something you definitely don't want to do if you're scorned. So, you know, we just played a little game. I was a Christian woman up until, well, we had a nice little array of filling in that blank, and it was hilarious. Listen, church women, different, but a half a second in some instances from the rest of the women in the world. Yes. Because a lot of us have been through a whole lot of stuff that we're not tolerating anymore. But you won't know it until you cross that line. So, you know, go back and listen. Go back and listen. You know, get your little laugh on. Get your laugh on. Because we had a good time. All righty? Well, Thursday. Thursday rolled around. And all week. Played the game, ripped from the headlines, and oh my. Some of the stories we get. Well, let's see what we talked about. Well, that egg thing. Yeah, that egg thing that came between the husband and the wife. Mm-hmm. You know, he wanted to cook breakfast for the family, and he did. You know, big breakfast. And wifey came along and asked, you know, would you mind making me some over easy eggs? And he was like, clean it up. You know, making no eggs. You got scrambled eggs over there that we all eat. Why you want that over easy egg? And, you know, the V-Time crew voted that he should have made the eggs. I mean, we're already cooking. And over easy eggs is easy to make. You're only cooking half of it. So come on. Let's not, you know, let little things separate us. But the rip from the headlines that did it was, please don't pee in my mug. So I'm not even going into that. You're going to have to go back and listen to that one. Because that there was some story. All right? So it was good to know. We always have good ones when it comes to rip from the headlines. We always got good ones. Well, Freestyle Friday rolled around. And we had a good time with the men. And we talked about reasons why they don't attend church. What seems to be the problem? Well, some men say that they simply have to work. Yes. And we simply say, without God, there is no work. Yes. No work. There's no work. What about there's just too many collections? Yes, they come up to the office. We've been talking about that here a few times with Pastor Steph, and that seems to rattle everybody, not just the men. But if they take up too many offerings, just get up and get up out of there and make sure you find another church that does it. Okay? Well, what else did they say? They said that church was too long. It was way too long. And it's too much to be sitting through. Well, you know, people 8 hours a day on a job. I don't know if God's going to want to accept that one as an excuse. You know, but if they're giving you the truth, if they're, you know, it's Bible-based, then you really have to balance out and weigh out, you know, if it's long or short, and, you know, what the day really entails. All right? So don't get caught up. Don't let the enemy destroy you with these excuses for not going to church, man. Come on. We need some strong men in our families, leading the families, helping the wife run the home and being with the children and spending time with them and just teaching them some quality life, you know, things. And come on, man, help us out here. You know, there is a church for you. Yes, there's a church with your name on it. Yes, 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 there is. So come on. Let's find you a Bible-based truth-telling church. All right? All right. Well, that's how we spent our week. That's how we spent our week last week. So, today, already, we are shaking the Monday morning blues. How time has flown by. It's good to be with you all after a great weekend. And I'm looking forward to spending not just the day, but the week God's been alive, you know, together. Alrighty, so, you know, come on, tell a friend, go get the healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend that it's new time when Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
Sarcoidosis is exhausting,
painful, scary. Sarcoidosis is life-changing.
But sarcoidosis doesn't have to be life-defining.
Sarcoidosis is an unpredictable, rare disease that can affect any organ of the body.
But I control sarcoidosis, not the other way around.
Learn about sarcoidosis at lung.org/sarcoidosis.
Good morning again. Welcome back to A New Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, we are. It's Monday already. And I'm telling you, we got to make sure we are not bluesy. We got a world to reach out to and tend to and, you know, we have to help get this world right. Okay? All right. So what are we talking about this morning with our little health tip? Let's see. Well, the winter time is coming, and we want to boost our immune system. So we got to get into these, you know, different habits and change our ways. So here we have some healthy habits that will boost your immune system. All right. Well, this is one of the things that a whole lot of us have got to join. Log enough sleep. All righty. You know, Lady Tamika always says that by 8:59, she in the bed. And I bet you she's going to make sure she gets her 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Yes. That's what they consider an adequate amount of sleep is. And they say that, you know, you will conquer numerous things like rheumatoid arthritis, you know, making sure that your body gets enough rest to fight off any cold or anything that's coming your way, you know, when we're talking about your immune system, you know, got to make sure that sleepy time is quality, okay? So they say along with following good sleep habits, like keeping the room cool and dark and being consistent with your sleep and wake times, they say make sure you modify the fact that you're not drinking caffeine during the night. Yes, because it definitely keeps you awake. So make sure you drink your coffee. If you're an afternoon or early evening person who's got to have that cup of coffee, make sure. They say it's no later than 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, because for some people, it can actually affect your sleep time. All right? They say if you have reflux, they say make sure you limit alcohol, spicy foods, soda, and large meals at night, because it will definitely help with the acid reflux, the heartburn, and indigestion. Okay? So make sure, you know, you don't do those things, and your sleeping habits will be good. All right? All right, what else are we talking about here? We're talking about habits that you need to make sure that are in place to boost your immune system. We're also talking about, they say, eat a strong plant-based diet, okay? They're again mentioning this Mediterranean diet. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you're vegan, but a lot of vegetables, especially those plant-based foods, will definitely help boost your immune system, okay? They say, you know, you're getting a lot of vitamins in those greens and plant-based foods. So if you're struggling to eat the vitamins and minerals, then you may take that in supplements. So vitamin C, D, and E are definitely good for your immune system. Okay? All right. Number 3, bust a sweat. Yes. They're talking about this exercise, and we've been really hearing about this exercise thing more and more each week. So they say make sure if you want to boost your immune system, you got to get up and sweat. They say that it helps increase your fight against flu. And, you know, some of us don't get flu shots, okay? So they say adults who exercise more than 90 minutes a day, 3 to 4 times a week, have depressed immune systems. Yes. So that's a good way to fight your, you know, all that stuff that might be coming down the pipeline now that the weather's going to change. Okay? All right. Number 4, they say take a daily stress break. Okay? In other words, they say take a time out from stress. Whatever it is that, you know, are your stress factors such as traffic jams or long lines or talking to that certain individual that you don't need to be talking to because they just aggravate your last nerve, yeah, take a break. They say that little break, even 30 minutes a day, replacing that with something that you really enjoy. So that's like reading, they say taking walks or meeting with some friends that you have some, you know, good conversations with. Yeah, they say replace the stressful things with the things that are more relaxing. At least 30 minutes a day. Just take a break. You don't have to go through, you know, a whole stressful day. All right? All right. Number 5, maintain a healthy weight for your body type. Wow. Okay, they say obesity will have an effect on your immune system. Wow. Okay. So just lose some weight. So those are the things that you can do to help boost your immune system. Let's do this. Yeah, let's do the recap. Get enough sleep. Eat a strong plant-based diet. bust a sweat, get that exercise going. They say take a daily stress break. Spend 30 minutes, at least 30 minutes, doing something that you really like. And make sure you lose that weight and you are not obese. Okay? All righty. Well, I got a little fun for us to shake the Monday morning blues. Some of the rudest things you can do when you go to someone else's house. So hit me up, 347-285-7777. If you can think of some of the rudest things that you can do in someone else's house. Well, they say touching and moving things. So in other words, just keep your hands to yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Stop. Stop, stop, and stop. Okay? Come on. Come on, come on. Don't be touching and moving people. Stop. Okay? They say, you know, when you're trying, they say you're trying to make a home for yourself. And, you know, you just keep moving people's furniture. you keep moving people's furniture and, you know, you got your feet up on the furniture and, you know, who does that? I mean, you see that on TV, but you don't even see that on TV anymore. People don't do that anymore, do they? Oh, my goodness. They say ask before touching an object or removing it from the shelf. Okay? Oh, we got a couple of submissions. Let's see what they're talking about here. Oh, leaving poop in the toilet. Oh, come on. You can't be doing that in other people's house. Come on. Listen, nice and simply, look back when you flush the toilet. Look back when you flush the toilet. Because sometimes it doesn't always go down, you know. So you want to make sure you don't get embarrassed by leaving that in the toilet bowl. Because, see, they're not going to think you flushed it and it didn't go down. They're going to believe that you just didn't flush the toilet. All righty. All right. Oh, somebody said some of the rudest things you could do when you go to somebody else's house is pull back the shower curtain. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I done heard some folk doing that. I said, stop doing it. You might find some you ain't looking for. Oh, my, 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 my. Yeah, that's rude. That's rude. Why are you in the medicine cabinet? I don't know. Why are you in the medicine cabinet? That's one of the things that come to my mind. That's one of the things that comes to my mind. Pulling back the shower curtain and then going to people's medicine cabinet. Why? What is that your business? Oh, my gosh. Well, they say expecting a tour. They say, you know, stop asking people can they show you their house. Just wait. Just wait to be invited for the tour by your host, okay? And not only stop asking, but don't start wandering. Oh, my gosh. Really? Oh, my gosh. You know, maybe because just the church people come here. We really stuff, man. Do people do these things still? Well, clearly, yes, because they're on the list, and that's always my thing. It wouldn't be on the list if people hadn't been doing it. All right. All right. Well, they say hiding a mess. Because if you break something or finish the roll of toilet paper, just let the host know that this is what happened. Don't be trying to hide what's going on, what you've done, what's happened. Okay? That's rude. That is quite rude. All righty. What else are we talking about here? Snooping. Oh, see, did I just say that? The stuff on the people's cabinets. Oh, my gosh. They say that you shouldn't go through people's cabinets in the kitchen. Now, wait a minute now. Yo, y'all really doing that? That the people got to tell you don't do that? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Oh, check out what they said. They said that it's been known that some hosts put marbles in their medicine cabinets to catch people who are snooping. So, of course, what happens is when you open up the medicine cabinet, the marbles going to fall all over the place. Well, that's like the host, not the host, that's like the bank robber who takes the money from the bank or whatever the bag is, and then all that pink stuff comes out. Yeah, they can't hide the fact that they're the one who did the robbing. Well, oh, here we go. Bringing an uninvited plus one. Ooh. Ooh. Oh. Yeah, you know, ask people first. You know, some people are just, they limit. They are limited, rather. If they invite 10 people, they have a setting for 10. They're not, they didn't put one out for the 11. There's no place for number 11. Okay? So you want to make sure you don't bring that uninvited plus one or two or three. You don't see somebody who's always rolling with people. Yeah, you like, yo, what are you doing? No. All right. We have another submission. Bringing Tupperware to have a to-go meal before they leave. No. Yes, this is crazy. I have seen people go around the table and they packing up before they even make their main plate for the night. And you're like, yo, really, y'all? Yeah, people are watching you, and you look straight green. I don't care how close you are to the people who invited you. Don't do that. Yes, they're walking around, and they're already taking to-go plates before people have eaten who've been invited there. You can't do that. Oh, they're going to talk about you. All right. That was a good one. Oh, okay. They say waiting to share dietary restrictions. Now, I'm on the fence on this one. And you know what? They say, like, if you're vegan or allergies or whatever, you should tell your host. And I agree. However, not being able to eat eggs, man, that has gotten me out of a whole lot of, you know, hurting somebody's feelings. Yes. Does that have eggs in it? Oh, man. I can't eat eggs. Ooh, that just didn't look too good. So that was my out. So I guess, you know, if it's like a vegan thing, you want to make sure you go so you're not standing looking at the table talking about, oh, you don't have nothing from, you know, from the, no. Make sure you tell people up front. Because, see, that's the difference with me. I don't complain when I go to people's house or go to somebody's meal or whatever, and I don't, you know, I don't tell them in advance. I just eat what doesn't have eggs in it. All right. Up. Shanti's going to like this one. Disrespecting the shoe rules. Disrespecting the shoe rules. Listen, here's the key. Is when you walk in the door, you see a whole bunch of shoes. Please stop asking. You want to take my shoes off? Yes. Everybody else has. Or you've got to be able to see somebody from the eye distance where you're standing. Take your shoes off. That way you don't get into anything. And listen, here's the thing. Here's a warning. This is a caveat for today. Make sure you wash your feet and make sure you got some socks or something on, because you talk about doing something in somebody's house, coming with stinking feet, that is a definitely rude thing that we're going to add to this list here. Going to somebody's house with stinking feet. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. All righty. So those are just some of the things I thought would be a little bit fun talking about this morning. Definitely shaking the Monday morning blues, because I'm sure that even if you didn't submit anything, something came to your mind. And it may have been you. Yeah. Okay. All right. So what news are we talking about today? I didn't find a whole bunch of interesting news, but one of the things that I did find. Okay, so we got one more. We got one late submission. Let's see. We can do that one because I ain't got no great news today. Helping yourself to something in the refrigerator without invitation. Yes. Yes. Yes, I've seen that. I've seen people do that, and that is rude. How you all up in people's refrigerator? I don't know. Where do you get your manners from is my question. Where do you get your manners from? Because, I mean, even if these were things that were done years ago, come on, you'd have been to too many people's houses that you should know better. You should definitely know better. All right, so what are we talking about today in this thing? It's quite uneventful. Well, this is kind of interesting. So out in Florida, they arrested Christopher Stamat, who's 21 years old, at 4:30 in the morning on Saturday. Well, no, 4:30 in the morning on Wednesday. They arrested him on Saturday. He was arrested for shooting into a car. And it was a family who was homeless. Yes. A homeless family living out of their car. They had no rhyme or reason. They say that he was arrested earlier that day for felony weed possession. Now, that's new because who they arresting these days for weed? And everybody can smoke weed at will. I don't know. But they arrested him earlier that day for smoking weed, and he made bond. And after he made bond, he ended up shooting into the car at 4:30 in the morning. What are you doing? So his whip really went badly. So in the car, there was a man and his wife. The man was in his 30s. The wife was in her 20s. Their 9-year-old, their 4-year-old, and their 3-year-old, who, thank God, were all uninjured. However, the wife, who was pregnant, was struck in the head. Now, thank God, it was non-life-threatening injuries. So, you know, she's not deceased now because of this senseless act. But they said that the family was living in a rental car after recently moving back to Tampa. They had been living out of state. And he said, this guy says that someone earlier had done something to him, and he shot in the car in retaliation for that. Well, here's the problem. They said that the car had clothing covering the windows and a visor blocking the view from the windshield. So then who were you shooting at? Who were you shooting at? If you said somebody was shooting, you know, had done something to you earlier and you were retaliating, how could you shoot into a car where you could see nothing? Now, they said they had clothes up to the window, a visor in the windshield. Ain't no way in the world you going to see the car because there's no, how else you going to see into the car? So you know, again, here you are, you're already living, you know, on the side of, you know, you have no home. And now somebody's going to bother you while you're sleeping at 4:30 in the morning. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's crazy. And again, senseless. Senseless. Let's see what else. Let's see what else we're talking about here. So, here, you know, we've talked about this before, but now it seems to be a big dilemma to the upper, you know, the upper echelon of individuals as well as the governor's house. So, now that they've made weed legal, they're now becoming concerned because now they have to draw up some type of law against driving while you're under the influence of cannabis. And you've got the opposite side saying, well, you're a bunch of dopes because that's what you should have done first before you legalize the drug. And what they're saying is Hochul is really getting a whole lot of flack because this was not originally her idea. She's just kind of carrying out this, you know, this, when she came in, she was just carrying out this law. And now she's kind of put a foot in it because now you weren't the one who came up with it, but now because you supported it, now the pressure's on you. Now, I remember when we talked about this. That's one of the first things Shanti said was, you know, are you going to be monitoring the people? Well, they're saying that one of the problems is people who smoke weed also drink. So now you've compounded your under the influence behind the wheel. So, of course, you know, they have the breathalyzer and, you know, 2-3 ways you can check to see if someone who's been drinking, but they said they almost have no way. Now, they're trying to go with, is it saliva? I'm trying to think what they said here. They were saying that right now there's only been one way that, yeah, they're saying saliva tests can show some level of promise. But, y'all, come on. Really, y'all? Really? How are you going to gauge this? This is what we've been talking about all along. Well, now, see, the little people that, you know, we've been asking this question, but guess what? Now you're pressed. So needless to say, you're not going to be able to really do anything. You're not going to be able to do anything until you come up with something concrete. Because everything you do is going to be thrown out. Every single thing you do is going to be thrown out. It's not going to be, you can't hold nobody to this. If this is not going to be a concrete way, when you do your breathalyzer, that's a concrete way of knowing. When you have to use, you know, pass urine, same way. But here's the thing, they also talk about that weed is in your system much longer than alcohol. So the problem also is if I smoke weed on Wednesday, here it is Friday, can you still charge me with driving under the influence? Because I didn't ingest this stuff days ago. So it's definitely going to be a hit and miss with this. So you know what? Should have listened to the little people before. That would have been something that you would have been able to deal with. Well, here is a story that was just definitely sickening for me. Out in Alabama, there's a man, 23-year-old Eugene Lamont Need, who's been out on bond with a domestic violence charge. Now, this here, oh, my God, and I'm saying, oh, my God, So little royalty was left with her daddy by her mama. And when she went to pick the baby up, she said little royalty's face was all messed up. Well, I guess so when you have poured boiling hot water down her throat. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, oh my God. I couldn't. This one did it for me. 1 year old, poured the boiling hot water down her throat. She said her face was unrecognizable. She could not even stand to look at her. And she said that, of course, you know, she was rushed to the hospital. But they said that even her very lungs were damaged. 19% of her head was burned up. Okay, so I got a question. Let me tell you something before I have my question. You never go to the extreme before you do something mighty. The extreme ain't never going to be the first thing you do. So, Mama left the baby with her father. You going to tell me that prior to him pouring boiling hot water down his baby's throat, he never yelled, threw something across the room, kicked the dog, pushed you? There's nothing that ever happened to you with this man prior to you leaving the child with him? You have got to be kidding me. I'm not believing that. She had all types of internal injuries, facial burns. Oh, my God. She's 1 year old. That little body. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. They need to lock the mother up, too. I'm sorry. If I promise you, if they do some investigating, something coming out. Something is coming out. Where's my D-time crew? I can't take it. Can't hold this comfortable. Oh, well, you know it must not be any school today. Brother Al is on first. Let's say good morning to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Good morning. You hit it right on the head. No school. Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I know you must be happy and excited. And so are we. We are happy and excited to have you on with us today. Okay, Brother Al, you have the man shooting in the car at the homeless family. He didn't know they was homeless, but he just shot into the car. He claimed somebody had done something to him earlier, so now he's retaliating. So now he's shooting into a car where he can't see into. You have Governor Hochul, who's now, she's panicking because now she's got to come up with some type of test to find out if you're driving under the influence of weed, or you've got this Alabama man who poured the boiling water down the baby's throat. What you talking about?
Well, you know I'm gonna talk about the kid, the boiling water with the kid. Cause I love the kids, but before we say that, I do want to have one comment from what you were saying earlier on one of the things you do when you come into my house. Do not come in my house and go in my kitchen and lift the top off the pot while I'm cooking. I kill you. Don't do it. Don't you do
so
it.
That is rude.
Don't you lift that pot. You see something cooking. How are you going to take the top off to see what it is?
No.
Oh, my God.
People still do that.
Yes.
So that's straight rude.
Oh, my God.
That's
I don't care
rude.
If you
that's
family.
Rude.
Don't do it.
No. Please don't do it. Please don't do it. You might
don't
still walk
it. It's not going to it's not going to end well for you. Don't do it. Now,
I'm
back to the child.
Hear.
Oh, my. Yeah, back to the story here. Man, you know I love the kids, man, and people who harm them kids, man, I got no respect for you at all. And like you said, this ain't happened all of a sudden. He had shown signs of abuse to that child, you know. And you got some of these dumb men who are duties to the child to get back at the woman because maybe they're not together anymore. So they do these things to get at the mother. And she have seen some stuff. So, you know, you going down too because, like you said, this ain't the first time he's done something. And you still keep taking this child back to him. No, you going down as well as him. You know, Big Bubba, here you come. I'm sending you another one, Big Bubba.
Yeah, you know when he gets to jail, they are going to have to put him all by himself. Because, baby, that's extreme, Brother Al. That's extreme. That's extreme.
Very extreme.
Oh,
very extreme. And, you know, what kills me is that, you know, these people just got no heart. Because if anybody around kids, especially the little ones, they're so innocent. All they want to do is have fun. And he's just so innocent. And for you to bring yourself to harm them, you just got no heart. So I have no heart for you as well.
Yeah, that's some sick stuff right there. That's some sick stuff right there. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Brother Al. And we'll be back to have our conversation of the day. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Good morning. Good AM. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Glad to be able to be on.
Amen. Amen. Glad to have you. Glad to have you. All right. So we got three stories here. We have the guy who shot into the car. Just happened to be some homeless people. Shot the pregnant woman in the head. Thank God there were no life-threatening injuries. We have, now you got to scrape up a way to find out if these people are driving under the influence of marijuana. Or the man who poured the boiling water down the baby's throat. Which one are we talking about today?
All right. So I'm going to go with cannabis. My thing is, when they first came up with this whole idea, we all on the broadcast actually said, this is not going to be a good idea. We have seen where people voluntarily put it in wedding food. You know, we have seen where, you know, residuals transpire because you didn't think. You know, I'll even say just last week I was at I was waiting for a funeral to start. You know how people stand outside and congregate before, you know, between the wake and the funeral. Depending on what side of the fence you are, some people commemorate the loss of the individual by, you know, standing there and drinking. And when I tell you they were popping bottles and there was so much weed smoking, I was supposed to be singing for the funeral itself, and when I tell you my head was swimming before I could even get into the building.
There's no
rules, there's no guidelines. You know, you could just be sitting on your front porch and somebody's walking by, you don't even see them smoking it, but you can smell it for miles. There's no guidelines, no rules. You didn't think about that prior to any of this. You didn't think that there would be some kind of repercussions. You already have guidelines and rules for alcohol, which is legal. Why didn't you, you know, why didn't it even occur to you that this could be possibly a problem? You know, people do react differently when they have been smoking. And for you not to even fathom that prior to, you're going to have to do a whole lot of backtracking. You're going to have to kind of misspeak and fix it to try and make yourself look good. But that was a bad deal. That was a bad rap before you even made it legal. That's something that you really, really should have contemplated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I remember Shanti's asking that very question. She said they smoke weed, and how are you going to monitor who's driving and if they're not under the influence? Because here's my thing, Tamika. You got to have a buzzed head, because why smoke? Why smoke? What would be the purpose of even smoking? If I'm going to feel the same after that I have felt before, it would be no reason to smoke. So now you are under the influence, and now you pose to be a danger to someone who's when you're driving. So I don't know how they got here before they, you know, how they got to that before they got to this. That was stupid. And always they do dumb stuff. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Well, now she's got to face the music, because God forbid something happens and they find out that that person was under the influence. Well, who can they sue? Man, it goes up the chain. They better come up with something fast.
Pastor Steph, I'm sorry, yes, to interrupt. Just a comment on that too, that people don't know. Weed stay in your system for 30 days.
Yes, that's what I heard. Yep, I've heard that. So that's the problem, and that's what they did. Okay, and it stays in your hair for up to a year, I'm being told. So How are you going to really gauge this when I could tell you, well, I smoked 2 weeks ago? That was just stupid. So what they went for is a money issue, and now they're going to put out some money, because this going to cost them big time in more ways than one. Thank you so much, Tamika, for joining us. Let's say good morning to our Pastor Charlotte. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today? Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Stuff that we talking about here. We have the man who shoots through the car. It's a homeless family. You've got this whole weed issue, and how are you going to come up with some type of testing to find out if a person is driving under the influence, or the man who pours the water down the baby's throat, boiling water down the baby's throat?
I'm going to go with the boiling water. I was going to do the other one, but it keeps coming back to me. Just like it was stated that there was red flags before that, and which was she using the baby as a scapegoat, like if he do the baby, and if you knew that he had an issue already and you decided to leave the baby there anyway, I think as well she needs to be locked up as well. But when he gets locked up, I think that now when they hurt these children the way that they are, that the same thing that they do to them, that they should do to the adult as well. Of the torture, because of the fact that maybe it is send a message to someone else of not doing. See, death is so easy. Locking them up is so easy. Getting beat up is so easy. So, therefore, I think that you should suffer. We're talking about a one-year-old with boiling water. See, yeah, that's why I couldn't be a judge. I'm sorry. But it's some kind of way that they need to find a way to stop all of this stuff, hurting these babies the way that they are. There's a law, right? Isn't it weird that if you don't want the baby, you could just take the baby to the precinct, drop them off, or to the hospital or something?
Yep,
Yep.
So
yep,
you don't want the baby, right?
Right. But see, again, it's back to what Brother Al said. Not the fact that he doesn't want the baby. He wants to get back at the mother. Because the baby clearly didn't do anything to him. So, you know.
Right.
Right.
And that's another thing, too. When I won't do it to you, and that's what I'm saying, he won't do nothing to her, per se, but he's going to take it out on the baby as well.
Yeah.
See, why the baby couldn't survive.
Huh?
I was saying why the baby can't survive.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. Maybe, you know, she didn't die, and now this is what she has to live with for the rest of her life. You know, it's like, and that's why I said, you know, some investigating needs to be done, because you're not going to convince me, Pastor Charlotte. And again, I go back to my own experience. I go back to any experience that I've ever heard of someone in a domestic violence or domestic abuse situation. There was always little things that were done. Always little things. So you mean to tell me that you really, again, I think we had this kind of story not that long ago where we were all asking the same thing. You didn't think he would do nothing to the kids? It's like this is just a resounding question. So if they did some research, I'm sure, Pastor Charlotte, that they would have come up with something that maybe a report she's put in or, and you turn the baby over to him? No. You need to go to jail. Both of y'all need to be sitting up there with you. And yeah, you always sending somebody to Big Martha. Brother Al's always sending somebody to Big Bubba. Well, you know what? These are the times your recommendations should be taken.
Well, I wanted more than Big Bubba this time, see? Because, like you say, he has been doing things to her, but not to the extreme. And she passed the baby on. So everybody go down.
Yep. And that's the way I feel, the way I feel. Let her go. Let her get her penance as well. So let her deal with it. Because you did this here? Nah, this was extreme. This was really extreme. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlotte. Let's speak to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well. I'm well, thank you. How are you over there?
I'm doing well as well, thank you.
Okay. All right, what story are you picking to talk about?
Well, I guess we can stay right there with the child. I really don't understand. And as it was said, you know, this is not the first crazy thing you've done to try to get back at you. You know, what did you have to do that was so important that you needed a babysitter? But that's all it was. He was the last person, the resort. Because you racked everybody else to babysit and they couldn't. So you took him over there. So what did you have to do that was so important? And I look at it as, you know, this should be an attempted murder case for both of you. Because, first of all, you put the child in harm's way because you knew what he was capable of. You know, so of course, some ramifications should be on you as well. Because you've been with this person for a little while. You've seen what he could have done or what he's done in the past, and yet because of your own selfishness, you decided to leave the child there. Now the child has to grow up with all types of medical issues that she didn't ask for, that she didn't do. It wasn't because she started smoking or she started drinking and now have to go to, you know, different places or she crashed her own car. You know, it's something because the people who were in charge of me failed me, and now I have to deal with this.
Yeah. This is definitely, that's what I said. You do some research, you will find that there was something,
something happened. And once that happens, you don't leave your kids with these people. You just don't. You just don't. You just don't. It's sad. It's really sad. Really sad. Oh, thank you for joining us today. Now, in light of Domestic Violence Month, I came across an article that gave us some warning signs of evil people. Warning signs of evil people. And I want to see how the D-Tom crew feels about this here. So let's see what you think. They say one of the first signs of an evil person is they like to see the misfortune of others. Brother Al, would you agree?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You'd like to see the demise and destruction of other people? Oh, yeah, you evil.
All righty, all right. Nice, short, and sweet. Tamika, what you got for us? You know, signs that you're dealing with an evil person is when they like to see other people go down. The misfortune of other people they get happy with.
Oh, yeah, they have that little Grinch face, you know, both sides of their teeth. They're smiling from ear to ear because they, you know, saw something that hurt someone. You know, and sometimes they're so vindictive that they do things on their own to cause someone's misfortune.
Ooh, that's true. That is so true. That is so true. Pastor Charlotte, you know, they're saying a sign of an evil person is when they like to see misfortune of others. Would you agree?
Absolutely. They're sitting and waiting and watching. And hoping, and they not only will they do it themselves, but they'll send somebody to help that person fall as well.
Wow. Y'all talking some stuff here this morning. Pastor KL, is that a sign for you that that's an evil person watching the demise of others? Oh.
Yes, as well as a miserable person. You're just miserable. You have no life. And a lot of times, you know, these folks, you know, because of jealousy, they'll set you up so that you can fall. You know, blame you for something or accuse you of something, and now there's investigation of you. And though the other person may not be guilty, just sitting there watching you squirm to get yourself out of this situation, yeah, that's a sign of a miserable and evil person.
Wow. What about a person who has control issues? Now, I found this interesting. They said evil people have this in common. They're controlling. But it's not all about controlling you. They often feel downright uncomfortable and powerless if they aren't in control of every aspect of their lives. Lady Tamika, what are we talking about today? Control issues. Evil? Sign of evil?
I'm kind of on the fence with that one, only because some people, you know, not necessarily evil, but they just can't seem to get things right, and they have to have control. You know, the one moment that anything is out of order, they lose it. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're just evil.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, would you say that there's the sign of an evil person is a person who's controlling?
I'm kind of sideways with that too, because it's depending on how far you're saying it's about themselves and not towards someone else, correct?
No, they're saying it's not just towards someone else, it's also having control of their own, of every aspect of their own life. So, I mean, if you're talking about a personal thing, no, you can't be talking about evil. But that was just another thing that they brought up that I thought was interesting. But the first thing they say is, you know, having control of other people's lives.
Okay, I'm going to say yes, you got to watch them. you know, because a lot of times people can't do their own self, so they're going to watch you fall as well. So, yes.
All righty. Pastor KL, would you say a sign of an evil person is the person who's controlling? They want to control other people's lives?
Yes, because, you know, my wife is evil. She controls me all the time.
You know what?
what I can eat, what to dress. Yeah, I'm really now seeing the forest for the trees. I'm going to call her. But that is a sign of our evilness.
Okay, okay. And Brother Al, what say you? Is that a sign of
you're
controlling?
I'm gonna go different with that. I'm gonna say no. You know, I think people who are controlling, you know, they got some low self esteem issues. You know, you got to be in control of everything. If they're not in control, they feel more. You know, so I'm gonna say no to that, because just because they're controlling don't always mean that they're evil or up to something. They just got some self issues.
All right, right, all right. Pastor Charlotte, they say people who are habitually dishonest is a sign that that's an evil person. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, because you just keep lying and lying and lying some more. Yes.
All right, cut and dry. Pastor KL, what are you saying? A person who's habitually dishonest, is that a sign that you're dealing with an evil person?
I don't think so. I think they just don't know the truth. You know what I mean? It depends on what they're lying about. You know, I don't think that, you know, some folks lie to make themselves look better. You know, no, not to hurt you, but they want to fit in. So, you know, hey, how many times Al say he was a basketball star? No one knew Al back then. We don't know he's a basketball star. But it's hard to do. It's hard to do. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't think Brother Al is evil.
Oh my goodness. We got to go back in the records to find out, because Al did say there were articles written about him. So we can find articles.
The lost books in the Bible.
I'm so bad. Oh, Brother Al. Do you see them as an evil person?
Well, you just saw KL tell a whole bunch of lies just now. So,
he didn't lie. Nobody lied. Pastor Charlotte, not Brother, not Pastor Charlotte, not Tamika, not Shantice, not Elder, not Tisha. No, he ain't lied. None of us didn't know you back then. We just got to take your word for it that you were a basketball player.
No, I got proof. I got people. I got people you can call. I got proof. But I got proof now. People know about Brother Al. You know what I'm saying? People know.
You can pay them off, Brother Al. You can pay them off.
I would say no. That don't mean that they're evil. You know, I know somebody like that. It's like what Pastor Kel said. They lie to make themselves look good. You know, I know somebody like that, and we just mess with them. You know, you can sit there and say, you know what? I jumped off the plane. I'm thinking about doing that. Oh yeah, man. Look, I did that last year, man. It was something else. You know, it's just a liar. You know, the person is just a liar. They don't mean no harm. They don't know the truth. The truth is not in them. And I'm telling you, whatever you've done he has done it. And we were making up stuff on purpose just to say stuff. I told him I was thinking about wrestling an alligator. Like, yeah, man, but you know you got to be strong because you got to grab around the head when you grab him. And I was like, yeah, okay, you go ahead and do it first. I want to do it.
Oh my goodness gracious, I can't with y'all. Y'all are too much. Oh my goodness, come on, Tamika, what you got? You know, a person who is, you know, habitually just honest, are they, is that a sign that that you're dealing with an evil person?
I'm pretty much on the fence with that one too, for those reasons. Sometimes I wonder, look, what is it that you, are you bored? You know, like, do you, and they're right, you know, anything. You know, I'm thinking about getting my butt filled. You know, I had that happen yesterday, but, you know, you got to be careful which doctor you use. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, all kinds of stuff. They just come up with stuff. You don't have anything better to do than to just sit there and lie, you know. And then the sad part about it, there's no proof. You just keep going. And how much more before we catch you in your lie? Then you'll try and find another lie to cover the lie that you originally created, because you got to keep making yourself look good. How much more?
All righty now. All right, Pastor Tao. This one is an interesting one. They say there's signs that you're dealing with an evil person if you feel strange around them. What do you say about that one?
Nah, you know, I feel strange around a lot of folks. You know, I don't think they're evil. I just step away from them. You know, some folks, you know, I, if you got green hair or blue hair, I feel strange around you. You know, if you're a man and you got the Peter Pan shoes on, I feel strange around you. You know, I mean, I don't mean you're evil. It's just that, you know, we just not going. Nah. I don't think you're evil. I just don't want to be around you. You smoke.
All right.
I don't want to be around you. I feel strange around you.
Okay. Brother Al, is that a sign that you're dealing with an evil person if you feel strange around them?
I would say no. You know, sometimes you're around a person and you get a feeling like, you know, something ain't right with this person. This person's a little weird. Let me step on over here to the left. That don't mean that the person is evil. You know, you just, something don't sit right with your spirit, you know. And so you'd be like, all right, well, let me stay away from this person because I don't feel right around this person. But that don't mean that they're evil. Could just be a straight-up weirdo.
Okay. All righty. Tamika, what say you?
I actually would disagree with the gentleman in that there is something that presents itself. You know, we often pray for the spirit of discernment. And when it gets to a case where it's like, you know, every time I'm around such and such, you know, I don't, you know, there's this feeling, you know, and I've always seen that children are the most perceptive when it comes to that. You know, you got your baby, and every time sister such and such comes for your baby just goes wailing, just rah! And you're trying to figure out, and you keep trying to give your baby to Sister Sally Sue or whomever she may be. And you keep saying, oh, well, it's just no, Sister Sally Sue got problems and she's evil and you need to keep your child away from that.
All right. Pastor Charlotte.
Oh, okay. I thought I was on mute. Are they evil? Something about them don't sit right. That don't necessarily mean that they're evil. They could just be mean and nasty, because of evil is pretty much, for me, is where they just want to do vicious things to someone, but they just might have that mean little spirit in them.
All righty. Very interesting comments. They lack remorse. They lack remorse. Brother Al, are we saying that this is an evil person. This is a sign. Let me make sure I say this right. That this is a sign of an evil person.
On that one, I would say yeah. Because, I mean, you have no remorse for nothing, for nobody. You know, hey, this person got hit by a car and died. All right, so what you telling me for? You know, I you know, yeah, I would say, man, if you know, you got no remorse, yeah, I would say that's a sign. Because everybody gets some remorse, even if it ain't your family member or somebody you know. You hear a story, you're like, wow, man, I feel bad for that person. But you standing there being like, yeah, okay, well, that's good for him, whatever. Yeah, that's a sign.
Okay, Brother Al, I need to clarify remorse for you. So remorse is when you do something, but you don't feel bad about it. That's remorse. So they're saying
okay.
That if there's a person who has a lack of remorse, that could be a sign of an evil person. Now, with that definition, what do you say?
Same thing. No, he's still evil. Okay, now it makes it even worse now because now you done something and you're like, okay, I did it, so what? You know, yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
All righty. Tamika, they're saying you're dealing with a person who has a lack of remorse. Is that a sign of an evil person?
I would definitely say yes. I remember doing a study on serial killers. One of the things that is common across the board is that they have no remorse. They do whatever it is that they do, and it's the love of actually seeing you in pain that they thrive for. But as for them feeling remorse for what they've done, they don't. And I honestly believe that's definitely an attribute of someone who's evil.
All righty. Pastor Charlotte, lack of remorse. Is that a sign of an evil person?
Absolutely. You done took the cat and cut the cat up and boiled the water and watched them. Yes. I saw that on a movie.
You know what? Oh my goodness. Pastor KL.
Yes. Well, you know, first of all, I'm in awe that instead of Tamika doing research on Al's basketball abilities, she did research on dead people, on serial killers. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to understand serial killers. So she thought Al would be more equipped as a serial killer than as a basketball star. So, I mean, I want you to look at the sign.
But yeah, I do think
that is the sign of an evil person.
All righty. Let's see. Okay. They are cruel. Sign of an evil person, Tamika.
I would say yes. And that stuff starts when they're little. It's not so much as it starts when you're an adult. When you're a child, you just do things outside of stuff, you know, that doesn't even make sense, you know, smacking somebody in the face for no reason, you know, and then again, no remorse after you've slapped the person in the face. You know, mama beats you and you just continue on. The next day you cut a girl's hair, you know, it starts at childhood, and we have got to literally pray and put that thing, you know, under, because otherwise, when they become adults, it can get a lot worse.
All righty, Pastor Charlotte. The person is cruel. Is that a sign that they are an evil person?
Absolutely. Well, every time I walk by, they stick their foot out and I fall and want everybody to laugh. I remember that in school. You put your foot out.
I was giving you a flashback.
Yep. Wow, Pastor Charlotte. Is that why you have so many scars on your knees?
All right.
Absolutely.
Pastor K, the person's cruel. Is that a sign that they're evil?
Yeah. And again, you know, this keeps on flashing back. It goes back to being miserable. You know, there's something going on in your life that you don't get enough attention. You're the ugly duckling. You know what I mean? There's something going on in your life that you feel that you have to get this kind of attention. You thrive off all this stuff. So, yeah, that is a sign that you're evil. You just need a hug.
Alrighty. And Brother Al.
Yes, indeed. You know, you're just cruel for no reason, just doing things. Perfect example. Look at Pastor Carol. He's being cruel to me this morning. I didn't do anything to him except say good morning, and he's being cruel. You know, so Pastor KL is showing some signs as we speak. You know, attacking people for no reason. He's attacking me. He's calling me names. You know, that's cruel.
Oh, my goodness.
But yes, I'm going to say it again. That's definitely a sign of being evil.
Okay. Well, they're putting out there someone who has a lack of responsibility. What do you think, Pastor Charlie? Does that, you know, they don't take responsibility for the things that they do. What do you think? Is that a sign of an evil person?
I think they just don't know no better. A lot of times people think that they're right, they're wrong, and so right. So I won't really say that they're evil. Some people just have not been taught right from wrong.
Who's building a house in the background?
That would be Pastor Carol building that house.
Except the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain.
I think you're being quite evil right now, Pastor Charles. You're going to the house while Pastor Charles is speaking. That's quite evil.
Pastor Charles,
I rest my case.
I couldn't hear with all
Pastor
the
Charles, I'm going to prepare a place for her.
What did you say, Pastor Shaw, now that we got rid of this evil person?
Senior moment.
Start all over again. When a person will take responsibility for the things that they do, would you consider that to be evil?
Okay, I got it now. I was saying that sometimes people just don't know no better. So I won't really say if that they're evil. They just haven't been taught right from wrong. And they've been doing wrong so much from a kid that they just think that that's all they know.
Okay. Pastor KL.
When you can't remember what you said 5 minutes ago, is that evil?
Well, then I'm possibly evil.
You have that moment too, sir.
Yeah, I would definitely. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't consider you evil if you don't take. I mean, there's a lot of folks that don't take responsibility for some stuff that they've done. Now, if we talking about I killed you and stuff like that, but that's remorse. But I wouldn't think you're evil. I think folks are just, you know, unlearned, ignorant to certain situations, and they have to learn, like Dr. Charlotte did. Once you remember that.
All righty. Come on, Brother Al, what you're saying? You know, you don't take responsibility for the things that you do. Can you be considered evil?
No, I don't think so. You know, you just trying to ease your way out of what you did. You want to blame it on everybody else and try to make you be clear of everything. So I was saying, nah, I don't think that's being evil. That's
okay.
Not being responsible.
Okay. Tamika, would you say that a person who doesn't take responsibility for anything, that they're evil?
I think it's a level. In order to do things like that, you have to have a level of maturity. And I do believe that in some instances, people throughout their childhood were allowed to, you know, oh, well, it's not my fault, you know, the clothes are dirty, but I'm not responsible. Not my fault, you know, somebody else, you know. And all their life they have, if it's not mom, it's not dad, it's sibling, then it becomes wife or husband. You know, you're forever just pushing it off on somebody else. And in order to take responsibility for the things that you do and whatever transpires after that, you have to have a level of maturity. And I would say that these individuals don't have that level of maturity.
All righty. So, wait, does that make them evil or no?
I would say on the way. They're on the good ship on the way to the boat of evilness.
Oh, my goodness. She said they're on their way. All righty. Well, thank you so much, my due time crew, for weighing in on this. This is part one. We have quite a few other very interesting things that they're kind of associating with evil. So we're going to continue this conversation, Godspeed. But thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. We pray you have a blessed day.
Amen.
You
amen.
All do the same.
You do as well. Have a great day, everybody.
All righty. Well, it's the top of a Monday morning, so we all know what time it is. Time for the Switch Tip with Shanti. Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right. That's good. What you got for us today?
Today I got the Switch with Shanti, where we make the switch from the street to our godly seat. Now, switch tip 121 is stop pushing people out of the church. And I thought of this because I watched something last night that was very, very disturbing. Watching a show, and the younger person was, somehow it came out that they were a homosexual. And one of her parents was heavy in the church. So they decided that they were going to rally up people from her church. Now, mind you, this child just reunited with her mother after never seeing her before. You know, like, I think the last time she saw her was when she was first born, so you ain't never see her. And the mother decides to rally up everyone in the church to knock some sense into her. And the stuff that they set her in this chair and started to do to her, to call themselves ridding her of this homosexual spirit. And one of the first things I thought about was, y'all are stupid and dumb, because even if in your eyes you didn't feel like she was making any type of change, which y'all didn't give her a chance to make any type of change because she just started going to church about 3 weeks ago. But not only that, she was actually in church. This is a teenager who, forget what lifestyle she's living, this was a teenager who decided to now start attending church for whatever the reason is. And now, because you see what you deem unworthy and unsettling for you, you now decide to take matters into your own hands. And that made me think of the word criticism, which is on our word fast here in this church. The danger of criticism, again, the definition, I think we had a switch tip on criticism before, but the definition of criticism is the expression of disapproval of someone or something based on perceived faults and mistakes, or negative commentary about something or someone, and a synonym for criticism is, of course, condemnation, judgment. Now, the expression of disapproval of someone or something based on perceived faults and mistakes. Now, for those of us, especially those of us who have chosen to follow God, you know, that is one of the things that God speaks heavily on, you know, that particular lifestyle, that being an abomination, and, you know, he's very well against that. He does not talk in riddles and rhymes, meaning God, he does not talk in between lines. You have to read in between the lines when it comes to that. However, based on perceived faults and mistakes, they didn't know this girl. They didn't know her background. They didn't know it. Now, my thing is, if you really want to get down to it, her mother, who has been attending your church, you didn't know she had this almost adult child. So whose fault are you really analyzing here? But nonetheless, we spend way too much time on perceived faults and mistakes. And, of course, we know in the streets this goes on all day, every day. However, in the church, we have to really make sure that we are not falling into the spirit. So everybody want to talk about spirits, right? That we don't fall into the spirit of criticism, because this can very well push people out the quickest. This is the thing that pushes people out the quickest. Romans 14:1, and these verses that I'm reading are going to be in the Message version, mainly because the Message version speaks plain words, versus all of the other versions. And with this switch tip, I felt like we needed plain words this morning. So Romans 14:1, Message version. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. And when I read this, I thought about someone who I have been criticizing a lot, and I've been thinking and speaking on things that I have witnessed and I have heard for myself that, again, like a lot of other things that are blatant, is crazy, is wrong, so on and so forth. However, they have their own history to deal with. So while I'm sitting here criticizing, and even though I'm sitting here and it's like I want to slap you and smack you out of whatever twilight zone you're in and say, hello, wake up, what are you doing, especially because I've been down this road, I see the time that I've wasted and everything, I have to make sure that I treat them gently. Even if I just focus on the fact that they have their own history to deal with. Sometimes, and I know personally, dysfunction is comfortable. Toxicity is comfortable. And even when it's time to come out of that and you want to come out of that because God is showing you that it's toxic and it's not good for you, you still want to kind of stay into that because that's what you're familiar with. And even though you want the better, the process to getting the better, because, again, you learn. You can't just step out of the hole and right into where you're supposed to be. There's a process to getting better. And you really have to make sure that you're ready for that. But we can't now push people out of the church because logic, we spoke about logic on Switch Tip, because logic is saying, well, this is wrong, they should be better. No, we have to really make sure that we're treating them gently, especially since we're talking about being in church. And not just within the four walls of the church, but even if you're dealing with your church family, even if you're the church, everywhere you go, everywhere you speak, you're representing God and the church. Romans 14:13, forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else making life more difficult than it already is. And another thing that comes to mind, of course, typically is the older church people who now have so much to say about the younger church people, you know, whether they are consistent with going to church, whether they've given their lives or not, whether I'm here just because my friend or my boyfriend or my girlfriend has invited me. But there's just always something to say because what I feel should be going on isn't going on, or what I feel shouldn't be going on is going on, and now you're helping to make life way more difficult. You don't know what, again, young people especially, you don't know what it takes to get them in church. You don't know if there's been an internal fight or if they were hype about going to church, and then there were a bunch of things where people trying to prevent them from actually attending that day, and now here you are sitting here making life more difficult because you're just focused on what you feel needs to be going on around them. Luke 8:17. We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing everything out into the open. And I started not to include this verse into this because I'm like, okay, Shanti, this is contrary to what you're, you know, you're trying to tell people to shut up and stop pushing people out of the church. But I said, no, I'm going to include this because you know what? Whenever you're in, whoever we're in, the space of criticizing and pushing people out of the church because we're trying to decide what's right for other people, because we're not welcoming people with open arms, and because we're not treating them gently, and because we're making life more difficult, you have to remember that God is protecting you from some of your secrets coming out. He's protecting you from having to endure that same scrutiny and condemnation and judgment from your peers. But meanwhile, you're so focused on looking across the table or across the pew at the other one, or you're sitting in the congregation and now you're trying to analyze and judge leadership or whoever you're talking about, whoever you're trying to push out of the church directly or indirectly. You have to remember that this verse can now be applied to you. We're not keeping secrets. We're telling them. We're not hiding things. We're bringing everything out into the open. And you just don't know how the Lord would allow your secrets to come out into the open. So you must be very careful. And we're going to end with John 15:12. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. And it backs up the last verse that we just read. God is very gentle with us. Jesus is very gentle with us. If you really think about it, none of us are worthy enough to have our foot cross the threshold of any church. I don't care if it's a storefront. I don't care if it's in your house. I don't care if it's outside. If we really want to look at it in this way, none of us are worthy. Where Jesus can very well say, I'm pushing everybody about the church, and it's going to be me and God in here chilling, worshiping and talking to each other, and let the angels sing what they sing to us. Because none of us, all of us have fallen short. All of us have made multiple mistakes, sometimes on our way to church, sometimes in the church, sometimes during a break, sometimes before we could leave the church. We have said and or done something that could quote-unquote deem us unworthy. So we have to really make sure that we're making the conscious decision to make the switch from pushing people out of the church, making the switch from critiquing people and what they say and or do, to making sure that we're following Jesus and his command, loving one another, showing that compassion, showing that empathy. Because even if we haven't done the same exact thing we're watching someone else doing, we have made the same mistake some way where we can empathize, making sure that we're not making life more difficult than others, and making sure we're not being a burden when they already have their own history to deal with. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. Thank you. We pray you have a blessed day. All righty. So, what a switch tip. What a switch tip. Giving God thanks for another word that's coming through this morning. Well, let's hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord this morning together. Heavenly Father God, as we have gathered this morning to shake the Monday morning blues, we give you thanks, dear Heavenly Father, that you have prepared the day for us already. Thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, that you have prepared the day for us, and you have really prepared us for the day. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that we were able to come into this Monday. Some of us having rest today, some of us still having to work today. But nonetheless, we all have been blessed that we don't have to try to work this thing out on our own, by ourselves, but that you have given us a family where we can all come through together if there's something that we woke up with this morning on our mind, on our heart, that we can now redirect our thoughts, whether it's a laugh, whether it's a point that's made, whether it's the switch tip, whatever it is, God, you've loaded us up 2 hours worth of blessing to shift our focus and attention and to help us be grateful, dear God, for everything you've done for us. Thank you for the past week and all the blessings and all of the gems that were given to us from last week that we actually had an opportunity, that you gave us an opportunity to go through the weekend and we could execute some of the things that we heard or we talked about. Thank you so much for giving us shelter. Thank you so much, God, for giving us food. Thank you so much, God, for giving us a church family. Thank you, God, for giving us a church home. We're just grateful to you, dear Heavenly Father. You know, all the things that you've blessed us with that we didn't even know we needed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just a word of thanks this morning. And just a level of awareness that we didn't have. Something that was said here today helped someone make a change. You know, we talked about being evil, God. Did you sound the alarm for anybody who could be living a life that's unpleasing to you? We say thank you. Because a lot of times we're like, it's not me. But yes, it's us. So thank you, God, for planting that seed. Thank you, God, for watering. And thank you, God, for giving increase. Thank you. Because it's all done by your design. Even if you have man to execute it, it started with you. So we're saying thank you to you. We ask, God, that as the day goes on, that all of the conversation and all of the tips and the hints and the words of counsel and guidance, God, would not fall on deaf ear. That it would awaken and alert someone and they would want to make that change. And thank you for introducing us to anything we didn't already know. We love you, Lord, and we cherish everything you do for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, today we're talking about signs that a person could be evil. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of times, you know, I have people who say to me, you know, I'm a good person. You know, I'm not a bad person. But you written with bad things. And I'm trying to figure out, then what? Help me. What helps us to understand that, you know, we're just not where we're supposed to be? And the interesting thing is, we're not looking deep enough sometimes. You know, the question came across, you know, is it a sign? Remember, the word that was said, is it a sign that you're an evil person? You know, and one of the points, you know, Tamika said, you're on your way. And sometimes we're already there. We don't realize we're there. You know, we talk about enjoying the misfortune of others. Of course, that's an evil person. Of course, because your heart, again, your heart, where does your heart sit in all of this? You know, you want to see something bad happen to someone. And as the Due Time Crew said, you know, sometimes you even go as far as to set up misfortune. Of course, at that point, you know, that's a sign of you being evil. We talk about control. Absolutely.
absolutely. Do you realize what you have in your heart and mind that you want to control a person? You know, that means that you don't care about how another person feels. It doesn't matter to you what's happening to the person under your control. As long as you get your way, that's selfishness. Of course, that's a sign that you're an evil person. You're habitually dishonest. Is that a sign that you're an evil person? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Because a liar is a manipulator. Again, someone who doesn't care, as long as it airs on the side of them. You know, we're talking about someone who, we're not talking about someone who's, you know, lying, you know, because I need to get food stamps, so I'm going to decrease my, you know, we're not going to talk about things like that, because, you know, you could challenge that. You could challenge that. However, when you're talking about when you're manipulating a person, you know, so you're constantly lying. Signs. We're talking about signs of an evil person. Absolutely. A person who is constantly lying so that they can get their way. Of course, that's an evil person. Definitely signs of you being evil. And here's one that, you know, the word discernment is really key here. You feel strange around them. I think for those of us who are supposedly walking in the Lord and who has the Holy Spirit, I think that's an excellent sign. I think that's an excellent way to determine, you know, I feel strange around them. What kind of strange are we talking? What kind of strange are we talking? Is it just, you know, you make me feel a little uncomfortable? Sometimes that happens. But I agree with Tamika, who says children are the best discerners. They always say, watch how a child takes to a person. You know, do they have some type of uncomfortability? Those are things we need to watch out for. And I think a lot of times that's where we go wrong. You know, we feel strange around a person. We don't pay enough attention to it. We're talking about signs. It doesn't necessarily mean, you know, however, I feel strange around you. You know, let me tell you something. When I felt strange 30 years ago, might be a little different than what I'm feeling strange about now, or what I'm feeling strange around, or who I'm feeling strange around now. Might be a bit of a difference. However, if my spirit is so stirred up, and that's something that I don't use, I can't stand that term, my spirit told me. I really don't like that terminology. But I have to pay attention. I do have to pay attention to how I'm feeling around the person. I can't necessarily dismiss that thing. So that could be a sign that that's an evil person. And the Spirit of the Lord is just kind of giving you that nudge so that you can pay attention to it. So my advice to you is, because it could be a sign, don't dismiss it. If you're uncomfortable around a person, don't dismiss it. Pay attention. Are they giving off vibes that the Spirit of the Lord is telling you, I need you to watch out for that? That's how a lot of us end up behind the eight ball, because we ain't paying attention to the signs that the Spirit of the Lord is giving us. Sometimes are we wrong? Possibly, because it all has to do with you as well. You know, if you already somebody who's twisted and, you know, you suspect things from people and they ain't got to have no basis. I remember my mother, she used to drive me crazy with that. But I don't like that person. Now, were there times that she was right? Absolutely. But there was, because she had become so accustomed to going with her own feelings
it got intermingled with things that may have been given to her from God. So you got to be cool. You got to be careful that you don't kind of merge those feelings and now you end up off the beaten path with what you really should be feeling. Okay? They lack remorse. Absolutely, that's a sign of an evil person because that means that you've done some stuff that you don't care how it affected anyone else. You don't feel bad. You know how many people have said to me, you know, I don't have remorse for anything I've done. I said, well, you're surely not getting in the kingdom as according to the Bible. I said, because one of the things is that you confess and that you repent. You feel bad for what you've done. And if you're saying that you don't feel bad for what the things that you've done, you really need to go before the Lord. Because if that's going to be the thing that keeps you out, I think you need to go before the Lord. Because according to that Bible, it says, unless you confess and repent, man, you're not born, you can't be born again. And if you're not born again, can you, I mean, your odds of making it in is not strong. So a person who says, I do what I do, but I don't feel bad. I don't feel like, you know, there's anything wrong with what I've done. Oh, I think you're dealing, there's a sign there that that's an evil person. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. You are cruel. You are mean. You know, coming from Mariah, who was six, you know, when you do things that it's even on for her benefit, on her behalf, but you're mean because you don't allow her to do the things that she wants to do or say what she wants to say or go where she wants to go. That's one thing. However, when we're as adults, has someone in front of us who's cruel, mean, do you realize that that's intentional? That's intentional. That you're rude, that you're mean and cruel. That ain't mistaken. They may tell you I didn't realize it, but that's intentional. There's no way in the world that that's not a sign that you're dealing with an evil person. You lack responsibility. You won't take responsibility. You know, I heard maybe they don't realize it. Well, there's a Bible verse that says that God winks at you in your time of ignorance. And there's another Bible verse that says, so much is given, much is required. In other words, there's going to be a time where there are things that you do that you don't realize what you're doing. You don't realize the magnitude of what you're doing. And God is going to wink at you until the time he makes you aware of it. And then at that point, so much is given, much is required. He is no longer looking at it as though you don't know. So you want to get yourself together, stay before the Lord, and ask God to show you who you are so that you do not live in the way of an evil person. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew who always comes through big time for us. Thank you for joining the conversation today and hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen your relationship with the Lord, and you won't be seen as evil. Ooh, later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday church folk day. Until then, I love you.